I tell you, one of the worst things about speaking someplace where you're not used to speaking is you have no idea when you're supposed to get up and preach. I almost got up right before that song because there was a pause and I thought, is this me? So I'm glad I didn't. That would have been embarrassing. But I'm thrilled to see everyone with us this morning. I know we're going to have a great week. And our topic for the adults, I know a lot of you adults are going to be teaching, and that's a great, important thing. But for those of you who can be with us this week, we're going to be talking about marriage. And we're going to be talking about how we can build stronger marriages. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a newlywed or if you have a microphone that you're doing something to. Or if you've been married for 60-some years or wherever you're at, you need this. You need this. You need it. Your spouse needs it. Your children need it. Your church needs it. Friends, if we can be what God wants us to be in our marriages, it's going to affect every aspect of our life. Now, that being said, one of the reasons that we're spending some time on this week is because there are a lot of marriages that are hurting. I'm kind of at a disadvantage, or it might be an advantage this morning, that as I look out across this room, I don't know where they sit. Okay? If I go to Savannah, Tennessee, and I get up in that pulpit in Savannah, I look out across that room and I know where they sit. Or at least I know where some of them sit. There are a lot of relationships that are broken. And the reality is, it's not just about marriage. But those broken and those hurting relationships are affecting people spiritually. That they're costing souls. That they're leading to unfaithfulness, adultery, divorce. They're leading to people who are living their life in complete misery day by day. Not having what it is that God wants them to have. And the truth is, I've about stopped being surprised at it. I remember the first time that someone came to me for some serious marriage problems, I was shocked. I was shocked that it was people at church and they were our friends and I thought they had it all together and they were beautiful people and they had all these things going on in their life and one day they come to my door and they're in tears and something's happened and what's happened, you know what's happened. Something's broken. And I remember thinking, I would have never thought. And then it happened again, and it happened again, and it happened again, and it happened again. People are hurting. Godly people are hurting. I love to go to the marriage retreat. We got to take a group this year from Savannah, but I want to be real honest with you. I did not enjoy it this last year as much as I typically have enjoyed it in the past. It's because to me, the marriage retreat that you guys host, which is awesome, is this opportunity for somebody like me and my wife to go to who have a good marriage, and it's going to be a way for us to encourage each other and get to have an even better marriage. And what I spent a whole lot of this year doing was sitting in a hotel room with some couples that had come with us and that we go to church with that are godly people in many ways that are on the verge of divorce. There it is. People are hurting. And you may be that person. And you've done a good job of hiding it and other people don't know about it, but you know that something is broken. And what's happened in so many of our families and in so many of our relationships is we're just trashing it. I mean, we're doing it to ourselves. Marriage counseling typically is not that complicated. Typically, when you sit down to do marriage counseling, it is obvious, at least on some level, some of the things that need to happen. You've seen it, haven't you? Haven't you all seen people and people that had dysfunctional relationships, and you looked at them and you looked at the way that they treated each other and the things that they did and the decisions that went on, and you knew just from the distance that's broken. That's not going to end well. And everybody knew it except for that couple. Everybody knew that it was broken except for that husband and that wife who thought the way they were treating each other was completely normal. And everybody else knew they're just trashing it. They're destroying their own marriage. And then there is that thought, if they don't see it, is it possible that I'm not seeing it? Is it possible that I might be trashing my marriage? You know, friends, I don't want to trash my marriage. I want to treasure my marriage because I believe that marriage is a gift from God. I believe that marriage is intended to be a blessing. We had our scripture reading earlier from Hebrews chapter 13 where the Bible says, God says that marriage is to be held in honor among all. Marriage is a good thing. Marriage is not intended to be this great burden that you carry around with you all your life and now and just something that you're stuck in. Marriage is supposed to be a blessing. And I want us to know that marriage can be a blessing. It may not be for you today. It may not be for you at this stage in your life, but it can be. It can become a blessing. It's supposed to be something that helps us grow stronger in the Lord. And we make a choice. We make it today. We make it tomorrow. We make it every single day when we get up. Will I treasure my marriage? Will I treat my marriage as if it is something that is valuable and important and worthy of sacrifice and worthy of my effort? Or will I trash it? Will I abuse it and take it for granted? Will I neglect it? And we're always tempted at this point to say, but you don't understand. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand how he is. You don't understand how she is. I know I don't. I know I don't. I know that there are a lot of men who are hard to live with. I also know there are a lot of women who are hard to live with. That's not just something I've observed. The Bible talks about that, doesn't it? That's a reality. But none of that really matters today. None of that really matters in what we're going to talk about. I don't want to know so much about your situation. I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to look at you. You remember what Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 18? He said, if possible, so far as depends on you, you be at peace with all men. I know that peace is not always possible, but I do know that you can control what you do. You can control how you talk and how you walk and how you treat people, right? Some people, it's hard to be at peace with. Some people, they just like to fight. But you know what? We're not going to have much of a fight if I refuse to fight. The same thing is true in our marriages. There is no magic pill. There is no secret solution. But what happens that destroys so many marriages, I'm convinced of this, is that we just stop trying. It's hard. It's difficult. So we just stop trying. That's why marriage counseling works. It really does. When people come in, most of the time, if people are willing to come in and talk, it works. Not because there's any magic pill, not because I have some old sage advice. It's because in most people's marriages that are broken to the point that they're going to sit down, if they're willing to work, if they're willing to think about their relationship for 5 minutes, 5 minutes a day, it will be such a monumental change from where they have been. It'll make a monumental impact. Some of you can't relate to that, but some of you can relate perfectly to that. So what I'm asking us, not just in this lesson this morning, but all throughout this week, is as we're going to talk about what the Bible says about how to really love your husband and how to really love your wife, we're going to talk about some of those dangers. We're going to wrap this week up by talking about what do we do when everything does just go terribly wrong. But what I'm asking us to do is to try. I'm asking us to make a commitment. It's the same commitment that came so easily on the day that we said I do, but becomes so difficult years down the road. I'm just asking us to make a commitment to try. I'm asking us to make a commitment to look in the mirror, to say, what kind of a husband am I? Can I be a better husband? What can I do to be the man that my wife needs me to be? What can you do to be the woman that your husband needs you to be? What can I do to treasure my marriage? You know, most marriages are broken. Most marriages are broken and become trashed simply based on one thing, and it's foundational. That is, forget about God. You want to trash your marriage? You want to see your marriage go right down the tubes? You just forget about God. Stop praying together. Stop coming to worship together. Stop working for God's goals within your life. Make your faith something that is only there when it's convenient. Make your relationship with God something that only comes up whenever there's a relative that dies and you go to the funeral home, or it only comes up whenever you're going home to visit your mom or to visit your grandparents. You put God, and you don't want to get rid of God completely, but you put Him in a small enough of a corner in your life, and I promise you, it's going to affect your marriage. It's going to have a terrible, detrimental effect on your marriage. People wonder why their marriages are so messed up when God is not there. Friends, God is the glue. God is the foundation of our marriages. And when He is not there, our marriages are going to be dysfunctional. Why is my husband not what he ought to be? Why is my wife not what she ought to be? I wish there was something different. Well, if God is not there to serve as that motivation, why should they be those things? We tell our children, and I believe this with every ounce of my being, that the very best husband is a Christian husband, and that the very best wife is a Christian wife. Why do we tell them that? We tell them that because it's true. Because if I have some redeeming qualities about myself as a husband, friends, it is only when as a husband I am in some way reflecting the nature of Christ. And when I'm a rotten husband, and I know I am on some days, I know there are times, and I wouldn't want anyone to look at me as an example of what a husband looks like. I know that on those days, it has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with what He wants me to be. Friends, if God is left out of the equation, I have no reason to agape. I have no reason to love, to sacrifice. I have no reason to cherish, except when I'm going to get something. And when you set up a relationship that is dependent upon what I'm going to get, that's completely dependent on I'll do for you only if you do for me, it will break down. It will break down because at some point your partner either will not be willing to give or they will be unable to give. Will you still be their husband? Will you still be their wife? Friends, so many people are trashing their marriages because they're just forgetting about God as the centerpiece of their relationship. Friends, you want to treasure your marriage. You want to say to the world that my marriage is important to me. You want to say to your spouse that no relationship in this world matters more than the relationship that we have. Then you do this. You be a Christian. You be a Christian and you say, well, I'd expect the preacher to say that because it's true. Be a Christian. You want to be the man that your wife needs you to be? Go and read all the books, but you make sure that you read the book. You be a Christian. The psalmist says in Psalm 127, you know these words, that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, then the watchman keeps awake in vain. There is nothing more important or more powerful that you can do for your relationship than to give your life to Christ. Because when you do that, it will change everything. It will change the way that you speak to your wife. It will change the choices and the decisions that you make about your relationship. It will change the way that you entertain yourself. It will change the way that you spend your time. It will change everything. It will change the way you see the world. Be a follower of Christ. My little girl is going to grow up one day and she's going to marry someone, and there may be a lot of things that we could say about that young man, but I pray every day that we can say he's a Christian. He's a godly man. He's going to help her get to heaven. And friends, if I'm going to pray that for my daughter's future husband, I need to pray that for myself. Let me be a man of God. Let me be what God wants me to be and what my wife needs me to be. Be a Christian. The Bible says, wives, be subject to your husbands. There's a popular sentiment today, isn't it? The idea that wives are going to be subject to their husbands, or that a man is going to have some authority in the household. So many marriages are falling apart because they're not what God intended or designed them to be. Because we're trying to take a concept and we're trying to redefine it. Friends, God's the one that made marriage. And God says, if marriage is to be what I want it to be, this is what it looks like. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Why? Because it's easy. Because that's always what you're going to feel like doing. I know that my wife always wants to do whatever it is that I think. She always wants to be subject to me. That's always what she wants. No. It's not. Why? Because of God. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Because God says that's the way that it's supposed to be. You want to treasure your marriage? You be a Christian. You try it. Try it for a week and see if it changes your relationship. Try it for a week. We're going to talk about these things as we go throughout the week. And so some of these things, if you're saying, well, there's more to talk about, I know that there is. But I want you to get the point. It's dependent upon not who your husband is. It's dependent upon who your God is. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for her. Love your wives. Sacrifice. If someone sacrifices, friends, it's not my wife's responsibility to sacrifice. It's my responsibility. Once again, because that's easy? No. Because it's always what I want to do? No. Because it's right. Because of Christ, because I'm a Christian, because that's the man that God has called me to be. Love your wives. I'm not talking about just a feeling. You know that feeling? You know that feeling? You've been married for, you know, a year. You know the feeling. You know that feeling when you get a feeling and like you never have felt before. You know that feeling, right? Right? We talk about love in that way. I know I'm in love. And I get butter, you know, when she comes in the room and there are butterflies going all around. Alan, you remember when butterflies used to dance all around? They probably still do, all right? You know, and that's not what we're talking about. That's what the world says love is, but that's not what love is. That's not what love is. Because that butterfly thing, that's gonna fade or it's gonna change. What then? I can't tell you how many men have sat and looked me straight in the eye and told me that they are leaving their spouse just because they said, I just don't love her anymore. What do you mean you don't love her anymore? And what they mean is I don't have that feeling anymore. I don't have that ooey gooey feeling like I never have felt before feeling anymore. I'm sick of hearing grown men and grown women say such nonsense and think that justifies them abandoning their wife and their children. That's ridiculous. That's not what we're called to be. We're called to be men. Love is an action. Love is a choice. Love is a choice to sacrifice. Love is a choice to support. Love is a choice to make me value another person. That's what a Christian does. You want to treasure your marriage? Be a Christian. You want to trash your marriage? Pick at each other. You've been around people like that, haven't you? Haven't you? Sometimes you've been around people like in the church, after church, and you go out to eat, and you go out to have a good time together, and they're just picking at each other. And maybe they say, well, that's just how we talk. That's just how we communicate. Mm-hmm. And it's destroying their marriage. It's destroying their relationship. Because even though we might laugh, it hurts. Anybody ever had a fat joke told about them? Pretty funny stuff, right? I mean, I've been a big guy all my life, and I learned to laugh at some of those things. It's not funny. It hurts. We do the same thing in our marriage. We learn to laugh because that's how we cope, but it hurts. I don't like to be picked at. I especially don't like to be picked at by my wife. Are we different? Yeah, we're different. We talk about irreconcilable differences, right? We've all heard that terminology, and we had to separate because we had irreconcilable differences. That means there was something different about us, and we couldn't reconcile it. It was never going to change. Well, guess what? Everybody's got that. Everybody's got it. My wife does things and sees things that are completely different from me, and it will always be that way, and we will never reconcile those things. It's because she's not capable. I'm not capable. Every night. Every single night, when we get ready to go to bed, I go to bed. I brush my teeth. I take off my clothes. I lay down. It takes about 3 minutes. But there's something that happens to my wife every night whenever we leave the couch, which she's currently sleeping on, as we're watching TV, and we go to the bedroom. It's like she drinks a monster energy drink or something. And she starts bouncing from here to place, and she's singing a song out of nowhere. And she'll spend a half hour, and she'll start cleaning out the closet and straightening it. And all of it, I'm like, what are you doing? It annoys me. All right? I'm going to be real honest. It annoys me. And you know what annoys her? The fact that I'm not in there playing around with her, that I'm in there laying in the bed. And you know what? That's probably never going to change. As much as I'd like for her to change and just go to bed, never going to change. That's okay. That's okay. We can be different. It's not my job to point out every fault. It's not my job to try to make her everything that I think she ought to be. It's my job to help, to encourage and to inspire each other. But when we have these relationships wherein our job becomes always to be the first person to point out the fault in our spouse, and you're going to be able to because you see them. You know them better than anyone else. I remember sitting in a Bible class and this young Christian family, and this wife was saying, you know, that she just thought that she ought to be the one who could always tell her husband whenever he was saying something or doing something wrong. Because if a wife couldn't do that, then who could do that? She said it was her duty. Well, guess what? There are lots of people in this world who are going to drag your husband and your wife down. They don't need you to do it. They need you to encourage them. They need you to inspire them. They need you to give grace in your relationship. We talk a lot about grace, don't we? It's not just the grace of God. We're supposed to reflect that grace of God, that unmerited favor. Don't give them what they deserve. Maybe they do annoy you. Maybe they do deserve a piece of your mind. Maybe they do. Use grace. Give them what they don't deserve. And that is a powerful motivator. Colossians 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them." So many of these relationships where it's pick, 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 pick. Over time, what does it do? You ever have a part of your body that gets picked at all the time, picked at? It builds up calluses. It gets hard. It gets tough. Don't let that happen. Love. Love your wife. Love your spouse. Don't collect their faults. Colossians 4 and verse 6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each other." Let your speech be seasoned with grace. How do you respond? You ever said something ugly to your spouse? Have you? You ever said something to your spouse that you'd be ashamed if it was like broadcast on all 15 of these big screens we got around this place? Right? We could bring it up here tonight and we could do visuals of what not to do in marriage, and every one of us could see ourselves up there, right? That's why you're smiling, because you're like, man, I hope he doesn't have some video, right? Because I know they can do it. The question is, whenever that happens, how do you respond? I can be difficult sometimes. My wife can be difficult sometimes. He was completely insensitive. I can't believe that he said that to me. You ever felt that way? Ladies, every lady's like, I'm not going to look up. Yeah. The question is not, how do they treat me? The question is, how am I going to respond to them? Grace. That's what grace is. How will I respond to them? Will my speech be seasoned with grace? How am I going to respond to my spouse? 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another." Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love makes a difference. Love makes a difference in the way that we relate to each other. Why? Because I know this person. You ever had someone who you loved say something to you as opposed to someone who you didn't love? I used to always say that I went to preachers' meetings for this reason. Because one of the things that I observed is that Preachers, they can be vicious to each other, okay? And one of the things that I observed at preachers' meetings is that sometimes there would be a guy who was doing something in their church, and boy, it was the big topic of conversation, and that guy would get sold down the river. And there was someone who was sitting at this table with us who I knew was doing the exact same thing, and nobody said a word. You know what the difference was? Everybody knew Bill. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew why he was doing something or what was behind it or how far he would go. I love this person. It changes. I know that they love me. I know that they want good for me. I know that I want good for them. I got to remember that. Maybe they're having a bad day, just like I've had a bad day before. When you said that ugly thing to your wife or to your husband, did you really mean it? Or was it more of a reflection of the type of day you'd had or the situation that you were in? What did you want? What did you need? You wanted grace. Let's give grace. Let's not give people what they deserve. Don't give your spouse what they deserve. I don't want what I deserve, babe. Okay? I don't want it. I want grace. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You want to trash your marriage? Refuse to meet needs. You can do it. Nobody can make you do anything you don't want to do. Right? If you don't want to be a good husband, don't have to be. If you don't want to be a godly wife, you don't have to be. I'm not going to do it. All about me. That's the old joke of the husband and the wife who went to the doctor, and he'd been having some health problems lately. And the doctor asked the gentleman to wait out in the lobby, and she wanted to talk to the wife alone. And the doctor spoke to the wife, and he said, "Your husband's situation is pretty grave. You know, really, death could be an imminent thing, but you can stop it. He needs to have all stress eliminated from his life. And the only way I see to do that is for you guys to go home and you to wait on him hand and foot. Whatever it is he needs, you get it for him. You get him a drink. You serve him. You get him a dessert. And when he sits down, it would be good if you would rub his feet every single night, maybe two or three times a night. If there's something he wants to watch on television, you let him watch whatever he wants to watch on television. Don't bore him with your things. Don't get him upset. You know, if there's something going on, you just defer to him. And on she went saying all these things. But he said, "But I'm telling you, if you'll do this, you can save his life." And she went, and they both went out to the car, and he was curious, well, what did the doctor say? I mean, that's kind of uncommon for him to keep you back, and I'm the patient, him to make me go out. What did the doctor tell you in there? She looked at her husband, and she said, "You're going to die." But I'm serious. I think there are a lot of relationships, and that's exactly where we live. I'm not doing that. I shouldn't have to do this. It's not about what you should have to do. It should be about what you are allowed and blessed to do. To serve each other. The very mind of Christ. You want to transform your marriage? You don't get anything else. You get this. All right, I'll hush. I'll wrap this up sooner than I anticipated. But you want to change your marriage? You act like a Christian in your marriage. You act like Christ in your marriage. Serve each other. Philippians 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Do nothing. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." Friends, that is not just a passage for you to apply to the people in the world or to the people that are your brethren. Take that passage and apply it to the people that are supposed to be more cherished than any others in your life. Go home and apply the very mind of Christ to your wife. Apply it to your husband. How many marriages would be transformed if we would simply start implementing those Christian principles? Little things. Little things. In verse 4, he says, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." How would it change things when after you've worked a long and a hard day, And whatever you've done, it's been long and it's been hard and it's the summertime and it's hot and maybe you've had to come home and you've mowed the yard and all you want to do, and you've been thinking about it for hours, all you want to do is come home and sit down and do nothing. You feel that way at times? Right? All I want to do, I just want to come in and sit down and do nothing. How would it change your relationship if instead of hitting the door and saying, I've been waiting all day to sit down and do nothing, is it if when you hit the door, your first thought was, how can I serve my wife? How can I serve my wife today? How can I make her life easier? Ladies, you've been working all day and you've had the kids and they're driving you nuts and all these things are going on. And all you can think about is when he gets home and you're going to say, here are the kids, take them, get them away from me. How would it change if when he hit the door, if when he hit the back door, your very first thought was, how can I help him? What can I do to make his life easier? How can I serve my husband? You have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. You want to change your marriage? You do that. Would that change our relationships? Would that improve our relationships? Everybody in the room, because I don't know anyone that perfectly fulfills the mind of Christ. That's the challenge. That's the call. Serve each other's. I want you to think about your spouse this afternoon, and I want you to ask yourself the question, what do they need? I want you to look at your wife, and ask her the question, what could I do to make your life easier? Fellas, I dare you to ask. I'm asking every one of your wives tonight whether or not you actually asked the question or not, because I want you to hear the answer. Wives, I want you to look at your husband and say, what could I do to make your life better? Have you had that conversation? I think a lot of times we're walking around thinking, well, you know, our life is pretty much perfect. You know, I couldn't improve much on this. And that's not true. It's just a lie we tell ourselves. And we're trashing our marriages. People are trashing their marriages because they're forgetting about God. People are trashing their marriages because they're continually picking at each other. People are trashing their marriages because people are so, so selfish. Friends, marriage is a gift from God. Marriage is an honorable institution. Marriage is an opportunity to build us up so that we can know the Lord better. Treasure your marriage. Treasure your marriage by giving your life to Christ. Treasure your marriage by giving grace in your speech and in your deeds. Treasure your marriage by not merely looking out for your own interests, but care more about what your spouse needs than you do. If you do that, friends, it's not just going to change your marriage. It's going to change your life. And ultimately, it's going to change your eternity. And you may think, I just don't know. It's been the way that it's been for a long time. It's been the way that it's been ever since I can remember. Our marriage has been this way for 40 years, and I just don't see it changing. Friends, we're not talking about what you can do. We're not talking about what your wife can do. We're talking about what God can do through you, if you will allow Him. We're going to sing the song of invitation in just a moment. There is power in the blood. Friends, there is soul-saving power in the blood. There is life-changing power in the blood. Change it all. Follow Christ. Change your eternity. If you're here right now and you've never obeyed the gospel, if you're here right now and you can't tell me about the day that you were buried in that watery grave and you emerged to walk in a newness of life, if you can't tell me about that story in your life, if your husband or your wife can't tell me about that day in your life, friends, the invitation is for you to draw a line in the sand to say, I'm not living for myself anymore. If sin has ruled your life and conversely has ruled your marriage, it's time for you to before your wife and your children and all your brethren to say, I was wrong, but I want to be right. I was lost, but I want to be found. And I'm going to walk the other way. But you may be here this morning simply as one who, I'll be quite honest, is just overwhelmed. You're fighting battles that you seriously don't know if you can win. And you just need prayer. And you just need the strength that only God can provide. That's what the invitation is for. Allow your brethren and allow your God to help you bear that load, to walk hand in hand with you. Do it this morning as we stand and as we sing.